We go out from our homes. We are on the road. We are on the street. We are yet to come back. Anything comes up to us, the first thing, we want to go home. We want to go home and settle affairs. We yet have to make a will. We yet have to divide the estate. We yet have to leave instructions. Allah says, no, no, no. No one will get that time. When the blast takes them, they were asking, when is that time? But when the time really comes, no one will have any time to do anything. They will not return to their families. They will not be able to give any instructions. They will not be able to dispose of their affairs. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ And then the trumpet shall be sounded again. Second time. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ So the first sound of the trumpet, it brought utter destruction to all the creatures in the heavens and the earth. Then Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ And the trumpet shall be sounded again. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ When lo and behold, at once, they will be raised from their graves, hastening towards their Lord. When the trumpet shall be sounded for the second time, resurrection will take place, and all the dead things will come back alive. The Holy Quran tells us that the graves will burst apart, and all the inmates of the graves will stand up, hastening towards their Rabb and their Lord. For then the Arsh of Allah and the throne of Allah shall come down upon the earth, shall come down upon the plain, the Maidan. The Maidan at that time where the Hashar, the great gathering, will take place. It will come down and everyone will come out from their graves, walking towards their Rabb. Yansilun, the Quran says, hastening and moving quickly and swiftly towards their Lord. Qalu, they will say, the unbelievers, Ya waylana, O woe unto us, man ba'athana min marqadina, who has awakened us from our sleeping place? Hatha ma wa'ada ar-Rahman wa sadaqa al-mursalun. This is what Ar-Rahman, Allah, the most compassionate, has promised. And the messengers have spoken truth about it. And they were truthful about it. So when that time comes, when the second trumpet is blown, and every single inmate of the grave shall rise up, it will be the hour of judgment. It will be the day when reckoning will begin. It will be the day when Allah will make a decision about a person. Al-Jannah awin-Nar, paradise or hell. These people, the unbelievers, when they are raised up on that day, the terror, the problems and the trouble on that day will be so grave that it will make it look that like they were sleeping in their graves, although they would have been punished in their graves. Because the unbelievers will be punished in their grave. So when they wake up for the resurrection, on the resurrection day, and they wake up on the day of judgment, the terror on the day of judgment will be so much, the horror will be so much, that they will say, Man ba'athana min marqadina, who has awakened us from our sleeping place? In other words, they considered the grave, although they were being punished, they considered it as their sleeping place. Who has awakened us up? The believers will say, or the angels will say, Hatha ma wa'ada ar-Rahman. This day that you have been awakened for, this is what Allah had already promised while you people were in the world. Allah had promised you that there will be a day of resurrection, and there will be a day of judgment, and there will be a day of reckoning. So this is what ar-Rahman had promised. Wa sadaqa al-mursalun, and the messengers had spoken truth. The anbiyas that came to you from time to time, they have spoken about it. So the terror on that day will be so much that it will make them forget about what type of punishment they got in the grave. Although the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about so many different punishment. One punishment he mentioned in the grave, that he saw one person was being whipped by an angel, and when the angel struck him with one whip, that striking of one whip was so grave upon him that immediately it brought about fire in the entire grave, and the entire grave became aflame with fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that was the punishment of a person who performed one salat without wuzu. One salat without wuzu, that was his punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in the grave again. He saw that people's head were being crushed with heavy stones, and their heads were smashed to dust, and then it will regain its original shape and form and be crushed again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about it. He was informed that this is the punishment in the grave for those people who used to be lazy and neglectful of their salat. This is the punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in the grave, he saw people who were eating stones and they were cutting themselves, and their nails were made of copper and brass, and they were digging in into themselves, and they were eating stones. He asked about these people. The answer that was given to him is that these are the people who consume riba, usury and interest on the face of the earth, and this is their punishment until the day of judgment. And so many different forms of punishment that is mentioned in the grave. So the azab in the qabr will also come to believers who had transgressed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa masha'Allah, except that Allah had forgiven a person out of his mercy before he left the world. Except that a person made sincere repentance and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why what Allah says in the Quran, illa alladhina tabu wa aslahu, except those people who sincerely repented to Allah and they make amends of their wrong actions on the face of the earth, then before they die, Allahu Akbar, Allah will turn to them in repentance and Allah will forgive them, and they will die and Allah will enter them in Jannat, and they will get ease and relaxation, even relaxation in the grave. But as for those people who died, Allah says, without tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without making repentance, or they made repentance but the repentance was not genuine and sincere. And what is a sincere repentance? Allah commands us in the Quran when He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, repent unto Allah with a sincere repentance. The repentance must be sincere. Allama Nawawi and many other scholars have mentioned, what is a sincere repentance? They say that a sincere repentance is such a repentance that we say to Allah and we make a firm, let's say, act. We affirm about our statement to Allah that, oh Allah, I have committed wrong, I will never ever do it again. That's one of the first points. That a man must make azam. He must make a promise to Allah that, oh Allah, whatever I've done in the past, oh Allah, I will never ever do that again. How can Allah accept this repentance of a person who is saying this to Allah, but he knows in his mind that, oh Allah, if that opportunity comes, I may do it again. Then that is no repentance. So one is that the man must make that promise to Allah. And a second condition is that man must be ashamed of the sin he committed. This is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, An-nadimu tawbatan. To be ashamed of your sin itself is a form of tawbah to Allah. Because for one to feel fearful of Allah that, oh, what I have done, it takes a certain amount of iman. Else people will feel happy to commit sin. People will commit sin and brag about it. People will commit sin and boast about it. People will commit sin and will like other people to hear of what they commit. Na'uzubillah, then that is not nadim, and that is not being shameful of what a person committed. So one of the conditions also is that a person must be ashamed of the sin which he committed, and he must make sincere repentance, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, promising to Allah that, oh Allah, I will never ever go back into that sin again. And that is sincere repentance. So if a person, yes, he said to Allah, oh Allah, please forgive me, and there is nothing in the heart, no remorse in the heart, no grief in the heart, that, oh, we have done something wrong, we have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is not tawbah. Allah invites us to make tawbatan nasuha. Nasuha, sincere repentance. That after, it is that repentance which will wash away the sins like water washes away dirt. Allahu Akbar. Such washing away that will take place that the man remains sinless, except that he owes a haq and a right to another Muslim believer. For example, he is indebted to another person. He is not paying that person. Or he may have caused harm to another brother and he still needs to ask forgiveness from the brother. Then yeah, that is yet to be done. However, what is between Allah and this person, Allah will forgive him. Allah's promise is there that whosoever makes sincere repentance, they may will forgive him. So those people who died and they were not able, or they did not make sincere repentance to Allah, or they made repentance and Allah did not accept their repentance for some reason or the other, because Allah knows our hearts. Maybe our eyes can shed tears, but our hearts are not sad about what we have done. And Allah knows our hearts. And Allah knows there is some hidden agenda in our hearts, about doing something. Then that person also, he will be entrusted to the azab and the punishment of the grave. So believers also will suffer torments in the grave if they did not make sincere repentance before they left this world. And or if Allah did not accept their tawbah, if they had done something wrong which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not yet forgiven. But as for all the unbelievers, they will suffer the punishment of the grave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke in so many different ways about the azab of the qabr, in so much so that he also used to say that Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min azab al qabri. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the azab of the qabr. Allahu Akbar. The Rasul of Allah himself used to ask Allah, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the azab of the qabr. Because the azab of the qabr is not easy. It is not an easy thing. Once a sahabi, his sister passed away, and they went to bury this woman. And they buried her, and after coming back home, he realized that something of his fell into the grave. So he went back to dig up the grave for that. When he went and he digged up the grave, he saw that the grave was ablaze with fire. Fire, she was a believer. He went back to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that she performed her salat, but she always performed it out of the time. Delayed the salat out of its time. Sometime out of laziness, we also do it. When the time for salat comes, a believer must hasten to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come towards that salat. But we believers also, we also delay our salat towards the makruh time, because we are engaged in so many things. Sometimes, na'uzu billah, it might be a show on television. Sometimes it might be a news. Sometimes it is something. And we put off the salat from its time. It is a very serious thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three things you must never ever delay in. Three things you must never delay in. One, when the time for salat arrives, do not delay. You do not know. If the time arrives, the masla is so that if the time arrives and the person had the time to perform salat, he did not perform salat, delaying it, and then he passed away, he will be accounting to Allah for not performing that salat, because he had the time to perform the salat. Out of his laziness and neglectfulness, he delayed it. He delayed it. So it is a very serious thing, the azab of the qabr. However, though the azab of the qabr might be so grave, the trouble on the day of judgment is even more graver. So much so that the people on the day of judgment, when they shall rise and they will see the horror of the day of judgment, some of them will say, oh Allah, if you have to send us to Jahannam, send us to Jahannam. We do not want to stand today. We do not want to be in this plane. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, he said that people will be judged naked as they were born from the wombs of their mother on the day of judgment, barefooted, naked as they were born. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and here in the hadith, says to the Messenger of Allah, O Prophet of Allah, would they be judged naked, men and women together? Wouldn't they be looking at each other? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, the torments, the punishment, the horrors, the trauma on that day, the trials on that day, it is too much for a person to be looking at another person. For every person on that day, even the Ambiyas will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, oh Allah, my own self, my own self. They wouldn't even have the time to look at another person. So when these people, they rise up for the resurrection day, compassionate had promised, وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, and the Anbiya's have spoken about it in truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. Nay, it is nothing but one blast, referring to the second trumpet. It is nothing but a mighty one blast. فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْذَرُونَ. When lo and behold, they all together have gathered in front of us. They will be gathered in front of us. So with the blowing of the second trumpet, everyone will gather in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah will say to them, فَالْيَوْمَ, today, or that day, لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. But on that day, no soul shall be wronged in the least. Allahu Akbar. Allah will not deal unjust with anyone's soul. What does the Holy Quran teaches us? That if a man has done the smallest good deed, Allahu Akbar, Allah will give him. It will not be hidden. No man can come on the day of judgment and say, oh Allah, but I used to do this also. No, he will meet it. He will get it. The smallest, the Quran says, even an atom's weight of good deed, you will see it. A person may think that I have to give a good sum of money in charity for it to be registered. Not like that. Even if 1 cent he had given, it will show up in the book of good deeds. Even it is the piece, the tiniest piece of a date he had given in charity, Allahu Akbar, that will show up. Nothing will be hidden. Why? Because Allah says, لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No soul shall be dealt with in an unjust manner. Every single thing. And similarly, the wrong things that a man has done, everything may show up based on Allah's mercy, based on the intention of Allah. But look at Allah's rahmat. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of judgment, Allah will call a man behind hijab and behind a parda and a veil and say, oh my servant, you have done so many wrong things, you have done so many sins on the face of the earth. Look at your book, look at your nama, your amal, look and see how many sins you have committed. But oh my servant, out of my mercy I forgive you and send you to Jannat. Allahu Akbar. So when we look at that, we come to the conclusion that if a man has done the smallest good deed, Allah will give him his reward. But on the other hand, whatever wrong things he may do, Allah will forgive all. Allah will forgive all. But on the good deed, he wants to give you every single thing. But on the wrong side, if a sin was committed, he decides to remove it. He decides to forgive it and wash it away. So sometimes with a believer, when we live a life in obedience to Allah, Allah's rahmat and mercy comes to us, and he gives us what we work for out of our good deeds. And whatever sins we commit, he continues to blot it out one after the other as long as we continue doing good deeds. So he says, فَالْيَوْمَ, that day, the day of judgment, لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا, no soul shall be wrong in the least. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And تُجْزَوْنَ, and he says, and you shall not be repaid except with respect to that what you used to do on the face of the earth. So based on whatever actions you used to do, thus your repayment is based on that. So if you used to do good, your repayment is good. If you used to do bad, your repayment is also the result of that bad. If you were merciful and compassionate to other people, Allahu Akbar, Allah will be merciful and compassionate to you also. So that is the affair of what is going to take place immediately when people rise up for the day of judgment. When people rise up from their graves, this is the announcement that Allah will make to them, that لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So among everyone there will be those who will receive their book of deeds in their right hand,
and they will enter Jannat. May Allah make us from among those people. And there are those who will receive their book of deeds in their left hand behind their back, and they will be sent to the fire of hell. Allah speaks about the two categories of people now. So He spoke when they are risen from the graves. He has addressed to them, and now He says, إِنَّا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. Verily, the companions of Jannat on that day, they will be busy, فَاكِهُونَ, very happy. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Everyone will be thinking about their own self. The Quran says some faces will be bright, some faces will be black, covered with dust. Some people will be rejoicing, running back to their families, rejoicing and being happy. Some people will be crying and weeping to their families. He says, as for those people who are successful and they are able with their obedience to Allah on the face of the earth, then Allah's grace and mercy will give them Jannah. Allah refers to them and He says, Inna ashab al jannat il yawma fi shughulin fakihun. Certainly, the companions of paradise on that day, they will be busy. Busy, not about their deeds, not about how they can get away from the fire, but busy, very happy among themselves. Very happy. And Allahu Akbar, they will be speaking among themselves. And people who will enter Jannat, they will cry the cry of joy and happiness. And they will say to each other, how good it is I had listened to so and so. How good it is that I had been obedient to Allah. How good it was that I performed my salat. How good it was that I did this and this. Look, today I am in Jannat. And as for those people who are cast into the fire of hell, they will regret and they will say, oh, how I wish that I had listened to so and so. Oh, how I wish I had practiced upon the Quran. Oh, how I wish I had followed the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah will say to them, your regret will not help you today. The time when your regret could have helped you, you did not take any benefit from it while you were alive on the face of the earth. Now today your regretting will not help you. So Allah says, Hum wa azwajuhum, they and their spouses, the companions of the people in Jannat, they and their spouses of the worldly life, from among their spouses who are able to gain Jannat also. It is not automatic that if a husband goes Jannat, his wife will go Jannat also. No, na'uzubillah, that is not how it happens. Because every soul shall be dealt with individually by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lut alayhi salam was a Nabi, but his wife will be cast into the fire of hell. Nuh alayhi salam was a Nabi, but his son will be thrown into the fire of hell. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Nabi, but his father will be thrown into the fire of hell. No relationship. Allah says, when the day comes, the day of resurrection, فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. No connection, no relationship. Bas. Nothing. Everything has ended. The only connection is the connection of the believers in Jannat. No connection on that day. So, sometimes it may happen that the husband, out of his good deeds and obedience to Allah, he is given Jannat. But if the wife has transgressed, she will not be given Jannat. For every person will be dealt with individually in accordance to his or her own deeds. If that person did good, Allahu Akbar, good will come. If that person did bad, bad will come. So it is very important that the brothers also, while we are here and we try to make effort, we make effort on our wives also. Because in this world, we live with them, we provide for them, we maintain them, and we love them. Would we like to see on the day of judgment, they are screaming, and they are crying, and they are weeping, and they stretch out their hands to us, and we can't do anything about it? And they cry out to us, and they say, help me. Now we can do something to exhort them to be obedient to Allah, to exhort them to perform salat 5 times a day, to exhort them to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that while we will make effort and perform our salat and gain the pleasure of Allah, they also will be able to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But besides that,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give the people of Jannat spouses from Jannat. So this ayah where Allah says, "Hum wa azwajuhum," they and their spouses will be in Jannat. It refers to the two types of spouses. Spouses which Allah will give them in Jannat as being inmates of Jannat, and also if their wives had been successful also out of their good deeds, they also will be reunited with their husbands in Jannat. If not, na'uzubillah, may Allah save us and our families from that, they will not be reunited with their families in Jannat. So hum wa azwajuhum, they and their spouses. Allah says, hum wa azwajuhum, they and their spouses, fi zilalin, they will be in shade. Allahu Akbar, the shade of the trees in Jannat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the trees of Jannat. He says, one tree has so much shade that a man riding on a horse will continue to ride for 500 years and still be in the shade of that tree. Allahu Akbar. The shade of the trees in Jannat. Another hadith, he says, for every time you recite Subhanallah, one tree please planted for you in Jannat in reward of that Subhanallah. So he says in one hadith that Jannat, the garden of paradise, is an open place. For each person it is an open place, a bare place. It is you who have to build your houses and your mansions and your gardens in Jannat. So many different hadiths. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man bana lillahi baytan, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannat." Whosoever builds a house for Allah, Allah will build for him a house in Jannat. So we can build our house in Jannat by building houses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says that there are 12 sunnat during the salat of the day and the night. 12 sunnat. Whosoever man waqaba alayha, whosoever is punctual upon the sunnah, then Allah will build a house, a mansion, a kingdom, a palace for him in Jannah. The sunnah of Fajr, those sunnah mu'akkada, those sunnah that we have in Fajr, in Dhuhr, in Asr, in Maghrib, Isha, because besides the farz you have sunnah, whosoever is punctual in those sunnah, this is the reward for that. So, these things are, when a person does his action, whatever action he does, a result, there is a result of that action that occurs in Jannat. So they will be in shade. Allahu Akbar. Ala al-ara'iki, leaning on adorned couches. Muttaki'un, reclining. Allahu Akbar. What ease and relaxation. While people are weeping and crying, and they are crying blood out there in the Maidan al-Hashar and in Jahannam, they are reclining on their beautiful couches made with gold and silver carpet. Allahu Akbar. The bliss, the pleasures and the delights of Jannat, they will be in Jannat. Allah says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. For them in Jannat will be all types of fruits. Every type of fruit we can think about and we cannot think about will be in Jannat. Faqiha. Whatever we have not seen, it will be there in Jannat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it, and he says the fruits in Jannat is such that when a person eats a fruit and he eats another fruit just like it, the other one will taste even better than the first one, and he will continue to eat and he will never become fed up of eating the same thing. The fruit, just imagine the fruit, some of the fruits that grow on the face of the earth here. Sometimes it is so sweet and beautiful. What about the fruits of Jannat, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to be in Jannat for the people of paradise? لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَا, that for them in Jannat will be fruits of all kinds. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ, and for them in Jannat will be whatever they call for. Whatever they call for. In Jannat, this is why it says that the world is not a place to fulfill one's desires. We could never fulfill our desires in this world because we always have desires. We always want something. We always want something else. Our desire is that we will not get sick, but we get sick. We cannot get things according to our desire. Our desire is that tomorrow should be a better day for us in business than today. That is our desire. It does not happen like that. We need so many things. However, the world is a place Allah has put the necessary things to fulfill our necessities of life. Allah has created us, and for us to pass through the journey of life, we need things. We need to eat, we need to drink, we need whatever it is. Allah has put it on the face of the earth, we can get it. Those from our hawa'ij and hajat, our necessity. As for the fulfillment of one's desires, there is only one place for that, is Jannat. Whatever a man desires, Allahu Akbar. Whatever a man desires, he will get it in Jannat. That is the promise of Allah. This is what Allah says. Whatever he calls for, the authentic traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about Jannat says that a man will be lying under a tree, an apple tree, and he will just wish and say, "Oh, I wish I could have an apple now." With the apple will lean towards him, come straight in front of his mouth, and without picking the apple, he will be able to eat it. Allahu Akbar. A man will wish, he will sit down and he will think, he say, "Oh, how I wish I can eat a roast chicken or a bird." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for itself a bird will come in front of him, roast it for itself and be given to him. Thousands of maids will be given to him. People will be bringing things. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, palaces in Jannat that is much bigger than the world and whatever it contains. The utensils are such made of crystal glass that it glitters like the like the stars in the sky. Such bounties Allah has placed in Jannat that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that I have prepared for my special servants believing people, people who believe in Allah, people who do good deeds. I have prepared for them such things in Jannat that no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and the thought has never entered the heart of any man, not even the thought. So we can well imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believing people in Jannat. May Allah give us Jannat. Whatever a man may desire. Allahu Akbar. The Quran says, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. Peace. Peace and salutations. Peace and greetings will be the statement of their Rabb and their Lord. Who is Rahim? Who is most merciful and compassionate? Hadith in Ibn Majah states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people in Jannat, As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. What beautiful greeting is that? What beautiful greeting is that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is what is meant by this ayat. Salamun. Peace. Greetings. Qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. It will be the statement from the Rabb who is most merciful. After speaking about the people in a very short manner of what the people in Jannat will get and how successful will be the believers on that day, now Allah speaks about those people who are condemned because of their misactions. What will be their case on the day of judgment? Allah will say to them, وَامْتَعَذُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. O criminals, stand apart today. أَمُوزُ بِاللَّهِ. What will Allah address them as? أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. O criminals. O people filled with sins. امْتَعَذُ الْيَوْمَ. Move, get away from each other today. Stand apart. To the people of Jannat, what will Allah say? أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. What Allah will say to them, Ayyuhal Mujrimoon, O criminals, O sinners, Imtazul Yawma, get apart today. Allah will remind them of a covenant. Allah will remind them and He will show them where they went wrong. He says, Alam a'ad ilaykum ya bani Adama an la ta'budu shaytan. Did not I enjoin upon you, O children of Adam, that you should not worship Shaitan? Huh? In the world, did not I send ambiyas to you telling you should never follow the footsteps of Satan? You should not do what Satan wants you to do. You should not fall prey to the temptations of Satan.
إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ.
Did not I tell you that he was to you an avowed and open enemy? An enemy who is open, who is not hidden in secret.
وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي.
Did not I tell you to worship me?
هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ.
And this was the straight path. Then Allah says,
وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ.
Did not I tell you, children of Adam, you should not worship Shaitan? He was an enemy to you. And I did tell you that you should worship me, and that this was the straight path. However, he, Satan, he misguided a large number of people from amongst you. Even though I told you, even though I commanded you not to worship him, even though I told you, beware of Satan, he is your enemy. But what was the result?
لَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا.
He has misguided a large number of you people. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُ تَعْقِلُونَ. You people could not use your brains and understand well? Couldn't you understand that if you followed him, you will end up in the fire that you are seeing today? This is the address Allah has given to them. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُ تَعْقِلُونَ. Didn't you have aql, sense to understand that on the face of the earth, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, you are seeing beauties. The world is beautified for you. Sins are amazed, dazzling. They are made dazzling. As the Quran says, زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَمَالَهُمْ. Satan has made their actions beautiful for them. So sins dazzle a person. Where, whatever type of sin it may be, whether it is cast in evil glances, Shaitan makes it beautiful, that a person feels a sense of enjoyment in that when they cast evil glances. But Shaitan has made that beautiful and adorned that for him. So we follow Shaitan. We hear and we listen to haram things because listening to it is beautified for us. We seek pleasure and sensation in it. So it is made beautiful for us. We are not able to see the sin in it. We are not able to see it. Each and every sin that we commit, it is made, it is decorated by Shaitan. What will Allah tell us also in the Day of Judgment? But you didn't use your sense to know that if you follow him, you feel you will not come to me? You feel you will not stand trial to me today? Nah, but you followed him. You worship him as for those people who rejected Allah and worship idols. And as for the other people, Allah will say, but you followed Shaitan, eh? You followed Shaitan. So, since you followed Shaitan, what will be your place of abode today? Allah will say, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تَعْتُوَدُونَ. But this is the Jahannam and the hellfire that you were warned about. This is the fire of hell that you were promised. That is the promise of Allah in the Quran, in the Hadith, that if we ever obey Shaitan, that will be our abode. Abode. That is the promise of Allah. The promise of Allah is those people who believe and do righteous deeds, inshallah, Allah will give them Jannah. Allah will give them paradise. Allah will save them from every torment in the grave on the Day of Judgment and in the hereafter. And Allahu Akbar, Allah will save them from misery and calamity even in this world. So a person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wins Allah's favors in this world and in the hereafter. And a person who is committing sin and he's a transgressor, he loses out from Allah's favors both in this world and the hereafter. Because whatever it is, a man cannot get more than what Allah has decreed for him. So even if he worked for his entire life and Allah has written that poverty will strike him, it must come to him. And he did not believe in Allah, he lost here and he will lose there also. No way he has gained. But as for the believer, even if Allah has written poverty for him because of his ibadah, Allah will continue to make life easy for him on the face of the earth. Everyone is suffering. He is in the same suffering, but he is saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah is, he say, I am fine. people are crying about difficulties, the same difficulty may attack him, and you will say, how are you? But he said, mashallah, everything is going fine. Because of his ibadat and closeness to Allah, Allah gives him a type of, you know, feeling good inside, that he does not look at it as a hardship. He looks at it with ease and comfort, and he says, mashallah, whatever Allah wishes. So even though he did not get risk enough, but Allah made life easy, and Allahu Akbar, Jannat, his everlasting life will be in Jannat. So he has gained in both life, here and there. So Allah will say, you were promised, don't say that you weren't told, you were promised that if you did not obey Allah, Jahannam will be abode. So he says, "Hazihi Jahannamul lati kuntum tu'adun." This is that Jahannam, this is that hell that you were promised about while you were in the world. While you were still down there, you were hearing about it. Well, now this is what you were told about. Allah will say to them, "Islawha, enter into it. Al-yawma, today, bima kuntum takfurun. Islawha al-yawma bima kuntum takfurun." Allah will say, "Enter into the Jahannam, the fire of hell today, because of that which used to reject the truth, because of your denial and rejection of the truth, you used to commit kufr. So because of that, you denied Allah, you went against Allah, you worship shaitan. So because of that, but you enter the fire of Jahannam today. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. Allah says, that day, the treatment to the unbelievers will be like this. That on that day, we will seal their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. And their hands shall speak to us. وَتَشْهَدْ أَرْجُلُهُمْ. And their feet will be a witness against them of what they used to do on the face of the earth. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and commentating on this verse, he says, on the day of judgment, the mushrikeen will come to Allah and they will say, Wallahi ma kunna mushrikun, ma kunna, oh Allah, we swear, oh Allah, we were not unbelievers, we were not mushrik. So because they will try to lie, Allah will do what? Seal up their mouths. So how will Allah speak to those things? Allah will speak to the parts of the body now. Allah will command the hand, oh hands, speak up of what this man used to do. Oh feet, speak up of what the man used to do. Hadith is mentioned in Mishkat that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will call a man on the day of judgment, and Allah will say to him, remind him of his favors. Allah will remind him of his favors and say all these things to him, that I have given you this and I have given you that. What did you do? Why didn't you believe in me? The man will not answer. Allah will throw him into the fire of hell. Allah will call up another person and remind him of his favors, and a person who did not believe, and he will be cast into the fire of hell. Allah will call a third person, remind him of his favors. Allah will say, then what did you do with these favors I have given to you? The man will say, Amantu bika, oh Allah, I believed in you. Wa amantu bi rusulika, and I believe in your anbiyas. Wa bi kitabika, and I believe in your books. Wa sallaytu, and I perform salat, oh Allah. Wa tasaddaqtu, and I have given charity. Wa sumtu, and I fasted, oh Allah. Allah will say, you did all these things? The man will say, yes. Allah will say, well, wait. Let me bring a witness against you to see whether or not you really did it. But before going further, the man will say, oh Allah, I do not trust any evidence against me but my own self. I fear that someone may lie against me. I do not trust anyone. Allah will say, okay. I will not bring anyone to testify against you. The hadith says, وَيَتَفَكَّرُوا, the man will be thinking, well then, what will Allah do? Then the hadith says, Allah will tie up his mouths. And Allah will give the order to the hands, antiqui, speak up. And Allah will give order to the thighs, antiqui, unto the feet, and every limb of the body, Allah will say, speak up, and the bodies will reveal every action demanded. Every action demanded, it will reveal to Allah. So Allah says, Al-Yawma Nakhtimu Ala Afwahihim, that day we will tie up their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, and their hands shall speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their feet shall be a testimony against them. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, because of that which they used to do on the face of the earth. It is mentioned in some ahadith that when people will be gathered in the maidan or the field of the gathering, which is called the Maidanul Hashar, the open plain, where each and everyone will come together, and they will form a line, and they will be reckoned for their actions before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone, first of all, when they are gathered for reckoning, everyone will be free to make whatever excuse they wish to. So people will come with many different excuses on that day. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them as to why they did not believe. Why they did not believe in the prophets? Why they did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? People, because of the fact that first of all, they will be given that freedom to make whatever excuse they wish to make. We find that in the hadith, the nation of Nuh alayhi salam will say to Allah that ma balagana Nuh. Nuh never came to us. Nuh alayhi salam, he never delivered any mission. Nuh alayhi salam did not invite us towards you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Nuh, what is this? What is this the people are saying? Obviously on the day of judgment, they are lying. They are lying about Nuh alayhi salam. But because Allah has given them that freedom to make any excuse, whatever excuse they want to bring forth, they are free to make the excuse. So they are saying, to save themselves, they will say, oh Allah, Nuh alayhi salam did not come to us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question Nuh. And then Nuh alayhi salam will put the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a witness. And then this ummah will be a witness that Nuh alayhi salam did deliver the message. So too, in the Maidanul Hashar and on the plains of the day of judgment, the mushrikeen will come and say, Wallahi, Rabbina ma kunna minal mushrikeen. We swear, O Allah, we were not mushrik. After living a life, joining partners with Allah on the face of the earth, because on that day they will be able to see the fire that the Prophet ﷺ used to promise them about. They will be able to see Jahannam. They will be able to see that their own idols which they used to worship will be thrown into the fire. The stones they used to worship, the carving they used to worship, their great godfathers and their forefathers which they used to worship. People who committed shirk also will be thrown into the fire of hell. So they are putting up the excuse, Wallahi Rabbina ma kunna minal mushrikeen. Oh Allah, we swear by you, oh Allah, we were not mushrikeen. The hadith says, when they say that, then Allah will seal up their mouths. Allah will seal up their mouths. So they will not be able to speak with the tongue. They will not be able to say and make any excuse. And then, وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, their hands will be a witness. Their hands will say to Allah what they used to do. And their feet will say to Allah what they used to do. In another riwayat it is mentioned, the ayah is quite general. It refers to everyone who makes excuses on those days, on that day. Why they did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say, oh Allah, what the angels have written in our Nama'i Amal, in our book of deeds, we are free from that, O Allah. We did not do those things that the angels have written. Because on the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will produce the book that is being written about us right now. A book is being written about us right now. It is not the biography of a man, but it is more detailed than that. Every single thing. So much so that the Holy Quran says, وَهُوَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and it is the statement of Allah, that not a word comes out of the mouth of a man except there is one waiting, a scribe waiting to write it up. The scribe who is the angel, Atidun Raqib. Raqib, Allah says he is waiting. Raqib means the one who is always waiting for someone. So he says not a single word comes out from the lips and the tongue of a man except there is someone waiting, just waiting to write it down on the register. So each and everyone, their actions, their statements, whatever they have done on the face of the earth, every single day, every single moment, every single second of the day, the book is being prepared. The book is being prepared. So on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that today the book which has been prepared for you is enough, sufficient against you. It is sufficient as a witness for or against you. Then it is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the kitab for the man before his eyes, and when he will look into it and he will see every single thing that he has done. Today in this world, we do so many things and we know that so-and-so will not know about it. So-and-so will not know about it. We feel a sense of security that people will know what I'm doing. People will know not much about me. They will know. They would not know what I am saying about them. So they will take me for their friend. They do not know what I have in my heart against them. So they take me for my friend. I can continue to live amongst them. We feel safe. We feel secured. But on that day, my dear brothers and sisters, every single thing will be brought forward. So when the man sees the kitab and the book which has been prepared by the angels who were appointed for him on the day on the face of the earth, he will say, "Mali hadhal kitab." What type of book is this? We have never seen such a book. "Mali hadhal kitab." What type of book is this? "La yughadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan illa ahsaha." The book has not left out the smallest thing, nor has it left out the biggest thing, but it has included every single thing. Ajib. What type of book is this? Every single thing. Even in the darkest hours of the night, even when no one could have seen us, the book will be there. So when people see the amal and they see the actions, then they will say, "Oh Allah, these things, we did not do these things. We do not know about these things, oh Allah. I have never done this. That is which is written here. I do not know about this." So Allah says, what will he do on that day? "Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim." Bas, to show whether what is written in the book is the truth or not, Allah will tie the mouths. Allah will seal the mouths. And then Allah will order the hands and the feet and every other limb to speak up. And the limbs and the organs of the human body will be a witness to what he did. Because the Holy Quran teaches us that it is not only the hands and the feet will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran tells us in another place, "Shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa absaruhum wa juluduhum." They listening. The faculty of hearing, their hearing will be a testimony against them on the day of judgment. وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ, and their eyes will be a testimony against them on the day of judgment. وَجُلُودُهُمْ, Allahu Akbar, the skin, even up to the skin of the person will be a witness against him on the day of judgment. Another ayah says, وَتَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ, their tongues will be a witness against them on the day of judgment. Their tongues will be a witness against them on the day of judgment. So therefore, when the man is denying all these actions, "Oh Allah, I never used to listen to these haram things. And oh Allah, I never used to look at the haram things." Allah will say, "Bas, we will ask the thing itself, whether did it hear it or not." So Allah will speak to the ears. He will speak to the listening and the hearing of a man. And the hearing of the man, that power and ability which Allah has endowed a man with so he can hear, that will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will speak to Allah. And Allah will speak to the eyes. "Shahida alayhim sam'uhum," their hearing. "Wa absaruhum," Allah will speak to the eyes. And the eyes on that day will speak to Allah. The eyes. Today we know that the eyes are used to look. But on that day, it will be a new world. It will be a new order. The eyes will begin to speak. And the skin that we have on our bodies, the skin will begin to speak also. and the tongue will speak. But when Allah says, تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ, that their tongues will be a witness against them. One is that a person will be able to speak with his tongue. That is one. But then Allah says, we will seal up their mouths. And then in another ayah, He says that the tongues will be a witness. How will the tongue be a witness against a man, when the tongue itself is that organ which he can use to deny something or to reject something? It means that the control that a man has over his tongue will be taken away. The control that a man has over his tongue will be taken away, and the tongue will speak directly to Allah without any control from the human being. So therefore, the tongue will be able to say every single thing it said without the man having the power to control it. So today, if we want to say yes, we say yes. We want to say no, we say no. We want to backbite, we do it. We do not want to do it, we stop doing it. Because we have a sense of control over the tongue to move it and to speak. But on that day, when the tongue will be a witness, the control of a man over his tongue will be taken away. So the tongue is left alone, like any other organ in the body, to speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man will not know anything. The man will not want to say something, but the tongue will say it. The man will want to say to Allah, oh Allah, really, I never committed backbiting. But the tongue will say, yes, I committed backbiting. The man will want to stop it from saying that. He will want to say, oh Allah, I never lied on the face of the earth. The tongue will say, yes, oh Allah, I used to lie for my master who was the human being. The tongue for itself will say every single thing. So the mouths will be sealed. And the hikmah and the wisdom in that is that everyone will want to put up some excuse on the day of judgment as to why he did not do this, why he did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, time for the excuse. Time for all these excuses, it is done. Now the organs themselves will speak to us. How will the organs speak? The organs themselves will see to the human being. When the organs begin to speak, the hands begin to speak, and the feet begin to speak, and the master of the limbs and organs is the human being. He will see to the ears and the eyes and the hands and the feet. How come you are speaking against me today when I was your master on the face of the earth? How is it you are speaking? Then they will say, "Antaqana Allahu alladhi antaqa kulla shay'in." The one Allah has given us the power to speak today, and Allah has commanded us to speak. The same Allah who has given every single thing the power to speak, Allah has also given us the power to speak today, and this is why we are speaking. So on the day of judgment, this is what will happen. Not only will it happen to unbelievers from among the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the pagans and the unbelievers, but it will happen to anyone. To anyone whom Allah chooses to occur with, for this to occur with. So anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to get his testimony, he doesn't need the man to say, yes Allah, I did it, or no. Allah will take it from the body itself. So he says, on that day, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, on that day we shall seal up their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, and their hands shall speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, and their feet shall be a witness of that which they used to do on the face of the earth.
وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ.
Allah says, had we so wished, لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ, we would have blotted out their eyes. فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطِ, then they will run about searching for a path. فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ, but where can they see? Meaning, after speaking about the halat and the state in the hereafter, because in the preceding ayats, those verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about inna ashab al jannati, the companions of paradise, and he also spoke about the unbelievers, the companions of the fire of hell. But Allah is saying in this ayah that azab and that punishment is in the hereafter. Allah says, if we so wish, even in this world we can give the azab and we can send the punishment to them, even in this world. And if we were to send the punishment to them, then what could we have done? What can we do to them in this world if we wish to send the punishment? He says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ عَيُنِهِمْ. If we had so wish, we could have blotted out their eyes. We could have blotted out their eyes. فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطِ. And when we blot out their eyes, then they will be without the sight. They will be without eyes. So they will be running all over the place, searching for a path. فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. But where can they find a path, because they have no eyes to see? So Allah says, if we had so wished, we could have sent upon them the same azab as we had sent to Lut alayhi salam, the people of Lut alayhi salam. So this is azab that was sent to the people of Lut alayhi salam in this world before they passed away. That Allah blotted out their eyes. He took away their sight. He moved away their sight. He blotted away their sight. Their eyes, as another part in the Quran says, فَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ عَيُنِهِمْ. And we blotted out their eyes. The angels came with the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah took place. This was another azab that came to the people of Lut alayhi salam. Allah says, if we wish, we can do that. وَلَوْ نَشَاءَ. And if we wish also, لَمَسَّخْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِهِمْ. If we had so wished, we could have disfigured them upon their own places. We could have disfigured them upon their places. فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Thereafter, they will not be able to move about. وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Nor will they be able to return back to their places. Two types of azabs, Allah says. That if